The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private. Trust Ireland's leading private hospitals with locations nationwide, including Dublin, Cork and Limerick.
This is News Talk.
Now, the murder of Patricia O'Connor was shocking, not only in its gruesome execution, but also as to the length several members of the O'Connor family went to in order to cover up the crime. The 7-week trial earlier this year was notable for the webs of lies that the defendants spun, as well as the horrific nature of the crime itself. News Talk courts correspondent Frank Graney covered the trial in some detail at the time, and he did it on this programme. He also has written now about it in a new book called Crowded House. Frank, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Thanks for having me on.
No, I read your book in one sitting yesterday.
Oh, very good. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
That's how compelling it is. It's a very good thing indeed, because it's 250 pages, so it's not a short read. It's 270 pages or more. So it's not a short read, but it is an easy read, a compelling read. You've covered many murder cases. What persuaded you that this was the one for a book?
That's a very good question, Pat. Well, for starters, I have covered many of, you know, the most horrendous cases to come before the courts, both here and in Northern Ireland and indeed over in England. And we've spoken about them at great length on the shows. And I have been approached in the past to write books about these various stories. Anna Criagel, for example, a case that we covered extensively on the show. And I turned them down. And the reason I suppose I turned those down was because I didn't feel there was anything new that I could bring to that story, and that I felt that I would have just been dredging up all of that horror for no good reason or no greater purpose other than selling books. What appealed to me about this story was I felt that a great wrong had been done to Patricia O'Connor. Not only had Kieran Green disrespected her body after he bludgeoned her to death in the home that they shared in Rathfarnham back in May of 2017, but more than that, he dragged her name through the mud afterwards. He told lie after lie, and he really tore her character asunder in the statements that he gave to Gardaí, and indeed some of the others that were in the dock did the same. And that was all we discovered in the end, to, I suppose, reinforce the warped version of events that they gave to, I suppose, help Kieran Green to get away with murder. And what piqued my interest during the trial was getting to know the people who genuinely cared about Patricia O'Connor, her brothers and sisters who came up to sit in on the trial to support her sister and indeed Richard, her son, throughout the very difficult trial process. And what struck me about those exchanges was that she came from an amazing family. And I just wondered, how could this family have so much love in their hearts for somebody that was being depicted as a monster and a violent bully? And thankfully, through those conversations, I learned that she was anything but, and I wanted to tell her story.
Now, she was the middle child of 13, which I learned from your book yesterday. There were six children in the house where she was born in Winegap when she was born, and then another six followed.
That's right. She was the ultimate middle child, I suppose. She was smack bang in the middle of a family of 13. And tragically, another sibling died in infancy as well. And I suppose I was given a very good picture of the life that she led in Winegap in County Kilkenny. That's where she grew up. Her father, Patrick, worked in forestry. Her mother, Helena, well, everyone called her Helen. She was at home looking after the large family, like you mentioned. And her mother in particular struck me as very similar to Patricia. She loved to cook. She loved to keep a clean house. She loved to bake. They had a garden. The kids all tended to the garden. They all had jobs to do, you know. And from conversations that I had with some of her family members, she led a very happy and idyllic childhood before moving to Dublin when she was about 16 years of age. And at the time, for young people in Winegap, where I suppose there weren't as many job opportunities, that was a natural route for most. And indeed, some of her older siblings were already based in Dublin when she made the move up there as a teenager.
Now, she worked in the hospital as a cleaner. She had great pals there who testified to her good character and what great crack she was. And we can talk a little bit more about relationship that she had in that hospital as well in time. But Crowded house. She came from obviously a very crowded house, even though the children, as they grew older, left the house in Winegap. But a very crowded house, but a very happy house. The crowded house of your title is the house, her marital house, after I think they'd originally, herself and Gus, her husband, had lived in Dorset Street in a flat with peeling wallpaper and all the rest. Eventually, they get this house in Rathfarnham. And it became very crowded. Explain the dramatis personae of all of this, because there were literally too many of them in the house at the time of the murder.
That's right. And that's why I think the title Crowded House is so fitting. And I remember actually the moment when Theresa Daly from the publisher Guild Books actually suggests that as a title, and it was just perfect. You couldn't find two words in the English language to sum up the story better than that. And by the time Patricia O'Connor was so violently killed by Kieran Green in that home at Mountain View Park in Rathfarnham, there were 9 people living under the same roof, 3 generations of the same family. Gus and Patricia lived there in separate bedrooms. They were married, but they weren't living as man and wife. They were separated for some time by then. Louise, her daughter, was living there. Louise's 5 children from 3 different fathers was also living there. Kieran Green was living there too. They had dogs, cats, budgies. It sounded like, and Roisin Lacey, the prosecuting barrister, in her opening address, she described as a chaotic home environment, and I think it's fair to say that that was the case. And the really tragic thing about it all is that Patricia had great plans for that house. She took great pride in the garden out the back that she tended to, but sadly, and it was a feature in the case, the people that lived under her roof, she owned the house, and the people that lived there didn't have the same respect for the house and certainly didn't help with the upkeep of it.
Now, she had become disenchanted with her marriage to Gus, and she left the house earlier on to have a relationship with a colleague, a woman, and that ultimately foundered, and she found herself in a situation where she couldn't afford to rent a flat on her own, so her only option was to return to the house that she owned. But clearly there was resistance to her return.
There was. Patricia left the home when the children were small. The relationship, her marriage with Gus, petered away. It was a fairly amicable split from what I've been told. She was working in Beaumont Hospital at the time. She did start up another relationship with a woman. As you mentioned, this was a woman that she met through work. Patricia, that particular relationship didn't end very well. This woman that she was having a relationship with ended up with somebody else, and Patricia was left living in an apartment on her own in Rathmines, paying rent and bills there, while also financing the house in Mountain View Park. And she was working every hour that the hospital could send her, but in the end, it was just too much to bear on her own, and she felt that she was left with no choice but to move back to Mountain View Park. And, you know, she did own the house. She was paying the mortgage, so she was more than entitled to go back, but she certainly wasn't welcomed back with open arms by the sounds of it. Louise's family had grown. You know, the house was busier than the one that she left when the children were small, and she wanted things to be done a certain way. She was very house proud, like her mother Helen back in Winegap, County Kilkenny. Louise certainly didn't share her respect for the house. Patricia and Louise were constantly locking horns over the state of the place, the fact that she didn't clean up after her own children. Kieran Green was useless when it came to housekeeping. Gus didn't seem to care, apparently. And, you know, when tensions were rife in the house between Louise and Kieran and Patricia, and Gus would look, or she would look for some support from Gus. Gus generally didn't take sides, or if he did, he would lean towards Louise. Louise was a very controlling person as well. This was something that emerged towards the end of the trial. And Gus even said after, you know, the sentence hearing, and after the trial process was concluded, when he was speaking to a psychologist, he actually claimed that he was the victim of elder abuse at the hands of his daughter and Kieran Green.
Okay, we'll pause for a moment. I'm talking to Frank Graney about his book, Crowded House, The Definitive Story Behind the Gruesome Murder of Patricia O'Connor. And we'll continue our conversation with Frank after this.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Matter Private. Trust Ireland's leading private hospitals with locations nationwide, including Dublin, Cork and Limerick.
This is News Talk.
Now, I'm talking to Frank Graney about his book, Crowded House, the definitive story behind the gruesome murder of Patricia O'Connor. Frank, in the court, we finally got the narrative of what happened, that, you know, four of them were involved in one way or the other of a cover-up, and one of them was the perpetrator. How about the Garda investigation? You've gone through it in this book in great detail, the interrogations, the forensics and so on. But could they have gotten away with this if picnickers hadn't come across body parts?
Well, one of the striking features of the case is what Kieran Green did after he bludgeoned Patricia O'Connor in the bathroom of her home. He then stuck her in the boot of her Toyota Corolla and drove to Wexford and buried her body in a shallow grave that he dug with his own hands. And what always struck me as extraordinarily unusual was that he returned then sometime later, a few days later. He was worried about, he claims that he was worried about a farmhouse that he spotted as he was leaving at the site of the shallow grave. But what struck me as unusual was that he returned, dug her up, dismembered her, and then scattered. And I am conscious, obviously, Pat, that the details of this case are, you know, potentially very distressing to some of your listeners. They are indeed gruesome, and I'll tread carefully. But he did dismember her. You know, he cut her into 15 pieces, and then he scattered those remains across the Dublin mountains. So he had gone to great lengths to bury her body and to conceal what he had done, only to then, a few days later, return and scatter those remains across one of the most, you know, beautiful amenities, natural amenities that we have in this country. And Christine Murphy, a young woman who gave evidence during the trial, was the first person to find a body part, and she gave evidence during the trial. And that obviously then sparked an enormous search operation and an extensive and very professional Garda investigation. Would Kieran Green have gotten away with murder if he hadn't scattered those remains across a 30-kilometre radius up the Dublin and Wicklow mountains? I suppose we'll never know. But certainly the Garda investigation that followed, because remember, there was no forensic evidence linking Kieran Green to this horrendous crime. The bathroom was cleaned to such a professional standard that not even a drop of blood was left. They did find one drop of blood, but they couldn't link that to Kieran Green. So it was a very professional cleanup operation. The Garda interrogations proved very important, but also CCTV evidence that was taken from a neighbour's home, particularly a camera at the back of the house, proved absolutely crucial.
We haven't mentioned one key figure who ended up also being complicit in all of this, and that's a guy called Keith Johnson. You know, such was Louise's family life, I suppose. It's complicated. He was the father of some of her children. Kieran Green, also the father of some of her children.
That's right.
You know, it turned out the two men had become friends.
That's right. Strange suitors as well. If Louise had a type, it's certainly hard to pinpoint what exactly it is, because these two were chalk and cheese. Keith Johnston was described in court as the trusted handyman. He carried out some works in the house at he lived there for some time in that house at Mountain View Park. He is Stephanie's father. Stephanie, of course, was also convicted of an offence related to what happened to her grandmother. He lived in the house for a time. He moved out then, and Louise met Kieran Green shortly after that. And it wasn't long after he had moved out, and the numbers, I suppose, were diminished somewhat in the house, but she restored them to their full capacity when she invited Kieran Green into the house. For Kieran Green, Louise was his first ever girlfriend. He was 22 years of age at the time. They went on to have three children together. She also had another child from another relationship. So a very complex series series of relationships that were very difficult, I suppose, to get across in our coverage during the case. But where Keith Johnson came into the picture was he was initially charged with two counts, and the allegation against him was that he had refurbished the bathroom at Mountain View Park after what had happened in an effort to conceal the crime. Now, that charge was eventually taken away from the jury. Mr. Justice Paul McDermott wouldn't allow that one to go to the jury, but he was convicted of assisting Kieran Green by going on a shopping spree with him through various hardware stores across Dublin to buy items such as hacksaws and axes and blades and things like that. Now, when he went on this shopping spree with Kieran Green, he denied that he knew what Kieran Green wanted those implements for. And the jury was asked to consider something that he said, and I have no doubt, as Keith Johnson is serving his sentence right now, I have no doubt that every night he goes to bed, before he closes his eyes, he regrets telling Gardaí that he had a nagging thought when he was carrying out refurbishment work at Mountain View Park after, obviously, what had happened to Patricia O'Connor. He claimed he didn't know what had happened to Patricia, but you'd have to wonder why he had this nagging thought when he was carrying out those refurbishment works. The jury would obviously then have been asked to step into his shoes and wonder what was going through his mind as he walked through the aisles of Woody's and B&Q. Why was he picking up hacksaws and axes for Kieran Green? They ultimately convicted him of assisting him in the cover-up.
Well, your intention with this book, Frank, was to rehabilitate the name and reputation of Patricia O'Connor among the general public who would not have known her. Interesting characters populate your book. There's a walk-on part for the current Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar.
Yes,
briefly figures as a young doctor in Beaumont Hospital.
That was a remarkable story, and I, you know, it was almost too good to be true when I heard it. It was such a lovely anecdote that one of her friends, Breda Vosser, who worked with her in Beaumont Hospital and deserves an awful lot of credit for the contributions that she gave and the assistance she gave in bringing Patricia to life through those chapters. And Leo Varadkar was a junior doctor in Beaumont Hospital at the same time that Patricia was working there. And Patricia struck me through the conversation that I had with many of her friends and former colleagues as a larger-than-life character. Every single one of her friends that I spoke to, the first thing they said when I asked them what they will remember about Patricia was how she was never in bad form. She was always singing and whistling as she went about her work. Her patients, as she used to describe them, she used to work in the catering department and she would drop food up to patients in St. Anne's ward. And she described them as her patients. She took great care of them and they absolutely adored her, with many of them sending thank you messages after they had left the hospital. But a junior doctor had started doing the rounds there, and she got to know him, and she used to refer to him as Dr. Leo. And he corrected her one day with a cheeky grin, I was told, and he said, "It's Dr. Varadkar." And Patricia said, "Sure, I can't pronounce that. I'll call you Dr. Leo." And she went up to him. He'd made such a good impression on her. She used to say to her friends that he was a born politician. I don't think Leo Varadkar was involved in politics at the time. If he was, it was certainly at his infancy. It seemed that his medical career was his prime motive at the time, his prime career path. But she approached him on the day that he was leaving the hospital. His stint there was up. And she went up to him to say farewell. And she said, "Someday, Dr. Leo, you will be Taoiseach." And another interesting twist in the tale is that the day he was appointed Taoiseach and took up that role was the day Patricia's remains were positively identified as being her. I thought that was a really spooky twist in the tale that certainly sent shivers down my spine.
A final point from a listener, from Paul. Will Crowded House be available on audiobook format?
Not yet. It will be available at all bookstores on Friday, online as well, obviously, and it will be available as an ebook. And, you know, I would like to thank all of the family members. This was a very difficult time for them. Obviously, the trial was still very raw. The deadline was the end of June. The trial sentencing didn't wrap up until the 26th of June. So the conversations that I had with some of her family members that wanted to contribute, I can only imagine how difficult it was for them to share their stories about Patricia. And certainly the same can be said for her friends like Breda.
You've certainly done Patricia justice. Crowded House is the title of the book, the definitive story behind the gruesome murder of Patricia O'Connor, published by Gill Books, and its author, Frank Graney. Thank you very much for joining us on the programme.